Welcome back to another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Nick and Philip. So today we really want to emphasize on the topic of, you know, judging others and really not looking to yourself whenever you're looking, maybe looking down on somebody or maybe judging somebody's situation without regard to, you know, how you are in your life. And to kind of start off, we'll start off with James chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. It says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" So, in that verse, it's really saying, you know, who are you to judge somebody else, right? And by judging somebody else, you are essentially sitting in judgment on the law. But the law is only given and judged by the one and only God himself, right? The one who can save and destroy, like the one person who can save and destroy it, which is God, which is also Jesus, who is the one who saves us in retrospect. At the end of the day, none of us are perfect. We're all, like, we like to say that we're all sinners, and we truly mean that. When me and Nick say that, we sin every single day. There's people that we've lied to. There's people that we've... Maybe we may not have stolen from them, but we may have taken, you know, just something from them spiritually or mentally or physically. All of that is, I mean, stealing is what it is, but we're not all perfect people. You know, we all do things in our lives that God looks down on, and he's the only one that can truly judge us for that. How are we to say to somebody else that they shouldn't be doing something when we turn around and do something similar or of the similar fashion of sin and of itself?
The main aspect of not judging people is the way that Jesus looked upon us as children. When he saw us, he saw sinners. And out of anything he could have done to us, the one thing that we are the most grateful for is that he didn't place judgment on us. And because of our trespasses, we were sentenced to death. And before the sacrifice that was made on the cross, we ultimately would be put to death if judgment was the right outlook. So if the God of the universe doesn't judge us, who are we to judge others? And even if in my spiritual walk, it's been ups and downs. So I'll have one week where I'm just on fire, and I feel like I'm leaning towards his purpose and not so much into my desires. And then the next week, I'll fall right back on my face. So in your high moments, it feels easy to look down on others. You know, when you're, per se, abstinent from alcohol for a while, and then you see on Snapchat all your friends are out at the bar, it's super, super easy to fall into judgment and be like, oh, well, you know, say something to them or just have these thoughts about them. And then you have to remember that was you. And even if that's not you or that was you, it can be you. And it's just... It's his grace that he's continued to bless us, but it's his mercy that he allows us to not be judged. And that's ultimately what mercy is not receiving what you deserve to receive, an aspect of not receiving the punishment. So like sin is sin, but when you start to look on to others, it's categorized completely different. When you're sinning against yourself, it's like putting down on yourself, but it's forgiven. But when you start placing judgment on others, now you're starting to partake in this God role. And he does not see that eye to eye as your typical sins and struggles. As soon as you begin to look down your nose on someone, you have now joined a different category of biblical Christians, and you are now a Pharisee. And if you read any, or if you know anything about the Bible, the Pharisees are the people that judged Jesus.
Biggest hypocrites.
The biggest hypocrites. When I personally read the Bible and I read about the Pharisees and you hear about what the Pharisees do, it's like my mind starts to judge the Pharisees. And it's like, it's crazy because by reading the word, you understand that you are each and one of every single category of Christian that they label. But the good news is that we're able to be forgiven from that. And one thing that I do very often and daily, and is to repent from that. Repent from any right doings that you think you might have done. Repent from any judgment that you might have placed. Because I'll catch myself subconsciously judging someone. And it's like this little battle in my head where it's like, oh, look at him. Just look at him. You know, it's not going to hurt for just to look at him. And then another voice in my head's like, all right, now what are you looking at? Are you looking because is it entertaining you because someone looks different? Or, you know what I'm saying? So it's an evil game to play, and it's a thought that we really need to take seriously, and it's a thought that we have to take captive and say, okay, Christ, this is how I'm feeling. I know this isn't from you. Take this away from me. Let me see how you see, and just to treat everybody the exact same, because the Bible says there is no such thing as, you know, the Israelites and the Gentiles, it's all one body. We're all from dust, and we're only made significant by the label of Christ, which is offered to every single living being on this earth. So we are all in the image of Christ, and to look down on something that God has created is to look down onto God. So really think about judgment, and I really want you guys to. And a prayer for me specifically too is just to take that more seriously.
Yeah, an emphasis that we need to make is the fact that sin is sin across the playing field. God doesn't have a bias. God doesn't have, you know, a whole court system of people to decide whether this person should be condemned for 30 years or this person should be condemned for 20 years. It's all the same to Him. And at the end of the day, you can ask for forgiveness, and all that condemnation goes away. You can ask for forgiveness, and you have faith in God, and you have faith in the fact that Jesus died for you. All that goes away. But the fact of the matter is, there's no bias in sin. And if you really want to get down to the root of what sin is, and every single sin, in some way, shape, or form, it's devaluing a person, right? Whether you're gluttonous, that's devaluing yourself. Whether you lie to somebody else, that's devaluing that person. Rape, murder, all of that devalues some person in some shape or form. Even down to the root of suicide, it's devaluing yourself as a person. And God doesn't want you to devalue anybody. God doesn't want you to place yourself above anybody else. But the biggest thing, and something that Nick kind of touched on there, is the fact that you don't want to place yourself at the same level of God, nor do you want to place yourself above God. Because if God hasn't judged somebody, what place do you have to judge them? Right? So I think a really good verse that speaks on this here, sorry, I got to transfer, would be Luke chapter 6, verse 42. It says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank, or for some translations it says a log in your own eye, you hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That verse in and of itself is pointing out the fact that we all have sins in our lives that we should be more focused on. How can we focus on the sins of somebody else and help somebody else when we still have sins in our lives and things in our lives that we need to rid ourselves of? How are we to see clearly how to help somebody else when we're not out of what we need to be helped out of?
Ultimately, we have to treat it the same way that Jesus did. What Jesus did when he saw a sinner, when he came to the woman at the well and he said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know. Well, who is this man that you've been sleeping with? He didn't shame her like the rest of society would. He said, he accepted her and he said, I love you. And then we'll get to that. And that's how exactly we're supposed to be treating sinners. We're all sinners. So we're supposed to love that person. And I'm not supposed to come to Philip and say, hey, man, I seen you were doing this. Well, brother to brother, we can do that because we both know the truth and we conversate over the truth. And the Bible goes deeper into like holding accountable brothers. And that's on a different level. But I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking as far as like other people outside of the body of Christ and people that you know. If you see someone deep in darkness, you don't go throwing stones. That's a hungry soul. They're not there to be stoned. They're there to be fed. So feed them the truth. Feed them the bread of life. Feed them the gospel. And then that is His job. That is the Holy Spirit's job. The sanctification process, we have no part in that. Our only part in that is supplying the sin that needs to be sanctified. So that's why it's so important just to realize all the power that comes through the Spirit is found in the Spirit. It's not found in the dust that we are. It's not found in the apostles. It was found through that Spirit that spoke through them, that it was able to shed this light into the darkness. And that's ultimately what we're called to be, is just that light in the dark to other people. And if you really want to tell someone that they're walking a wrong path, don't tell them. You do it. You be the witness. Because that's how the gospel is shared. It's through being a witness of what it's done to you. And through that speaks itself, because we all know actions speak louder than words. So don't go point your finger saying, hey, hey, hey. Point your finger back in the mirror and say, hey, I got to figure this out so maybe somebody else will see how this has impacted my life, and then they can start to get a taste of it, and then the Spirit will start working on them.
Yeah, I think it's really good to be in a place where you can come up to somebody and say, hey, I was right where you were at X amount of time ago, right? To go up to a person and say, I can help you. I know somebody that can help you, right? And you point them to the Scripture, you point them to God, you point them to maybe a church that you go to and a group of people that you know can help them out of what they're in. That's not judgment. That is purely...
That's love.
That's love. That's trying to help somebody that needs it, right? And at the end of the day, like, judgment comes in all forms. Like, you know, like Nick said, he can come up to me and say, hey, I noticed you were doing this thing. But if you're, you know, gossiping with a bunch of people, like,
right,
oh, I seen Betty do this. Did you see that? You know, bless her heart. You know, we're we're real big in the South about gossip. That's just who we are and how we are with the barbershop talk, as a lot of people can put it. Doing that is another form of judgment. By looking down on somebody and talking about it to other people, that's not okay. That's not okay in today's society. That was never okay in God's eyes. And you should just, it's just one of those things you have to refrain from. And it's very, very natural, I think, for a lot of us to gossip. I think it's especially because we want to think the worst of people naturally, right? We like seeing that we're better than somebody else. We like seeing ourselves in a better place. And I think we, as humans, we just need to dial that back a little bit and say, hey, I want to see this person in just as good of a place as I am. I want to see this person in a better place than I am. I want to be able to help somebody elevate. I want to elevate somebody else instead of bringing somebody down.
And like you said, all Christians, from what I've noticed, the Christian's favorite sin is gossip.
Oh, yeah.
It seems that, like, when I get around, you know, a group and you hang out with them for an extended period of time, you'll find it, somebody else that's not there will come into the conversation. And that's where you begin to tread lightly, because that's when you want to speak highly of them and you might speak worry for them. That's not judgment. But when you start bringing out their sin and you start talking amongst others about their sin when they're not there, that is judgment. And we think judgment is just a pointing of the fingers. But, you know, judgment can be, it can be as small as being on Instagram and swiping past a post where you see someone's doing good and you don't like it because you have this thought in your head, maybe this is just me. Maybe this is getting a little too personal. Maybe I just, well, it's small things. And the Bible says that sin is anything that you think or that you know you need to do and you don't do. And sin is all, like, categorized in different ways. But, like, ultimately what he said is that we want the best for people, and that's what we're called to be as Christians. It's just to want the best for each other.
Yeah. Well, and I like that you touched on the fact that, you know, it's about what you should be doing. You know, like, sometimes you don't do the things you want to do. And a verse that really speaks onto this, and I love this verse so much because I think it speaks to the truth about every single Christian out there. It's in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. It says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. So that goes down to verse 18. And what that verse is trying to tell us is the fact of the matter that we're confined by the flesh, and our flesh is very sinful. Our spirit may be for the Lord, but at the end of the day, we are bound by our flesh, and our flesh is sinful, right? We crave a chocolate cake at 10 o'clock at night. We crave, you know, for us as men, we crave women a lot, like an excessive amount. And for women, it might be the same true the other way around, craving men. You know, our just in our brain chemistry, as Southerners, we love to gossip. We like to tell stories about other people. We like to think that, you know, we like to talk about all the bad things everybody's doing. But if you can connect with your spiritual self and get away from your flesh as much as possible in that matter, right, and separate yourself out from the gossip, separate yourself out from putting people down, separate yourself out from the things that, you know, that might tempt you in other ways, whether that be by sight, by hearing, by all the senses that are around you, by touch, everything, taste even.
And then one important thing that Paul said that really resonated with me, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So this is going to be a little hunky piece of scripture, but this is where the value is found. He says in verse 6 of chapter 12, "Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool. For if I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me." And previous to what I'm getting into right here, Paul is going on to the church of Corinth about how if they want to judge based upon law, Paul is pretty much saying, "I've got y'all all beat." He says verbatim, "I am a Pharisee of Pharisees." So what he's saying is, "I follow all the laws." And then he goes in to say, "So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I've pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So what is going on right here is Paul, to keep him from being perfect, there's something that Paul is dealing with that we don't know what it is. But no matter what that sin is or that thorn in his flesh, it allows him to realize, "I'm not perfect." And even through being in direct contact with our Savior, Paul is still able to not be conceited. And when you become conceited, that's where the judgment is placed. That's where it comes from. So the Pharisees believed that because they're so good at following the law, that they're able to pretty much be the judges. And that's one thing that you'll see is a repetitive theme amongst Christians. And growing up, it felt like I always had people, judge me just based on like my friend group. And I was in a group of, you know, Christian families, and I was always the rebel. So I was always the one like getting into stuff I shouldn't be doing, always getting in trouble. And then it was kind of 50-50. I would have these, you know, Christian representatives, and they would say like, "Hey, like he wants you to come back to him, man. Like, he's a father. He loves you and he misses you." And that's the truth. And then there's those other people that's saying like, "You know, you're going to go to hell. You watch it. You're going to go to hell." Like, kind of. But it felt like in a more of like a judgment way, and kind of like a side eye look towards me, and kind of looking down on me, and like, "You know, we don't want to be hanging out with you," or like, "We don't want them hanging around you." When ultimately all I needed was help. I didn't need judgment. I needed somebody to look me in the eyes the way that a father would and tell me like, "I am loved. I am created, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made." And that's the truth for every single one of us. The worst of the worst of us, you know, like Joby said one time at a church sermon, somebody on this podcast is the worst. Like, I don't know. It could be me. Like, it could be the man speaking on this side of the microphone, or it could be somebody on the other side of, you know, in a prison that's done some horrendous acts. But the truth is that we are all the same, and we have all trespassed the law. And we've all been Peter. We've all denied him. And whether that be like verbally denying him or just through our actions, in which the gospel was meant to be spread in a moment, but through us following our desires, our full witness is spoiled. So just ultimately, it's all like, this repetitive theme of just loving. Like, what did Jesus say? Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. If you follow those two things, how can you love someone and judge them? If you love them and you're just trying to get them right on the back on the right path, that's not judgment, that's love. And if you love God and you love people, you're only trying to connect people with God.
Yeah, you're not wrong. As Christians, we have to be very careful of pretty much becoming the Pharisees, right? It was spoken that the Pharisees who had a clean outer cup, but in the inside they had nothing but greed and excess, right? So how are we as Christians supposed to say that, oh, well, I go to church and, well, I have a podcast that I speak on every week. I read my Bible every day, but I'm going to go out into the street and look at a homeless person and say, yeah, they were probably on drugs. That's why they're homeless. You know what I mean?
I don't want to give them money because they're going to go spend it on drugs. That right there, I've heard that twice this week from leaving church. And I'll say, like, I was leaving church the other day and I was thinking, I was like, out of this line of 50 cars, why have I only seen one person roll their window down to give this person money? And then the response I heard was, well, they're probably going to go spend it on drugs. That within itself is a judgment of what I think they're going to do.
Yeah, there's definitely different ways you could approach that situation, right? Instead of rolling down your window and saying, hey, here's a $5 bill, if you're truly worried about that person going and spending it on drugs, offer a hand and say, hey, I have an extra seat. Hop in the back. Let's go get you some food. Maybe they need some clothes. Maybe they need some water. Maybe they just need somebody to talk to sit down with and say, hey, you know, I'm in such a bad place. This is where everything went wrong. I think there's a beautiful song called Jesus Saves that Nick actually showed it to me. And it's an amazing song that goes around this. But maybe that person just needs somebody to hear them out and to hear their story. And maybe they're just somebody who got so far down on their luck. And they just need somebody to reach out and say, hey, here's a helping hand.
Treat them like a human.
Exactly.
I mean, that's ultimately what it is people get so far off the path of what we think is normal that they begin to lose touch with reality because reality doesn't want to treat them like a human. Like, a lot of people don't want a homeless man to get in their car or truck because they think it's going to smell bad. Or you don't want to... Like, imagine that man that's on the road and he hasn't washed his clothes in 3 months. And you just go up to him and you give him a hug and you tell him that you love him. Things like that is where... That's where the transformation is going to come. Because ultimately, like, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. But if the horse gets the new heart, which is transformation through the Spirit. So if you have the Spirit in you, don't doubt what that Spirit can do. So if you go up to a homeless person or somebody in need with the intent of sharing love with them, pray and ask the Spirit to do so, and now you go be the hands and feet. So that's what we are, is we're servants. The Bible says that we're called bond servants of Christ. So what that means is He has this plan for us. The Spirit works in us to show us where this plan is taking us, left or right, this path or this path. But now you have to be obedient. Now you have to be disciplined. Now you have to, and one method I like to do is I call it the 3-2-1 method. So it's when you're sitting there and you have this gut feeling that you need to do something, right? And, you know, whether that be going to the gym or whether that be, you know, go ask this person how they're doing. You'll notice in these situations, your mind is always going to want to pull you off of it. You're always going to get distracted or think of something that you need to be doing more. But that's when you count down. You say 3, 2, 1, take the first step. Open that door and then just start going. And from there, you're already there. And now the Spirit begins to work. Open your mouth and just allow it to flow. And it's not going to be easy in the beginning. That's what I learned this through sales. I used to do door-to-door sales, which is one of the worst jobs I've ever done. And my boss used to tell me the hardest part is opening the car door to get out to go knock on the door. And I didn't make much money on that job, but the things that I learned just through like fighting the feeling of not wanting to do something is ultimately what like leads to success. And worldly success is only going to get you so far. You know, all the richest people in the world are still searching. Tom Brady with 2 fistful of Super Bowl rings is still wondering what's next. But when that soul, Jesus says, I will satisfy your soul. When your soul is satisfied, it's a new level. It is, I'm telling you, it is just like, I was somebody that battled with drugs for a long time. I'll tell you this, it is a new high, and it is a constant hitting one. And when you continue to follow that right path, you're leading others towards it just through your actions. So be the role model that the world needs to see. Men, that's what we're called to be. We're called to be leaders. So lead people down the right path. Don't push them back down. If you see someone's down, help them up. Don't keep kicking them. You know what I mean? And that's ultimately what judgment is you're not wanting to help the problem. You are part of the problem, and you're only making it worse.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we all stumble. We all fall. There's some people that, I mean, we have fellow Christians. Instead of seeing somebody drop their cross and lay down in the sand, instead of, you know, saying, hey, look at this person, they couldn't even finish their walk, help them up. Pick their cross up, put it back on their shoulder, maybe carry them for a few steps. That's what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to, you know, like Nick said, God doesn't want you to kick this person while they're still down. They don't want you to break this person any more than they are already broken, because at the end of the day, we are broken people. From the get-go, we are born of the flesh, and we are born of the sin of the flesh, because we are human. We are not above God, we are not God, and we shouldn't judge other people or ourselves or any numerous ways you look at it. We shouldn't place ourselves above or at the same level of God within judgment, because he is the lawgiver. He is the person who can destroy it. He's the person that can save us. And at the end of the day, his sacrifice was for us so we could help other people, so we can love other people in the way that he loved us.
And then so we're getting ready to close up this episode. Here's a verse I want to leave you guys with. And this really help me understand the level of how God feels about us judging. So right back to Luke 6, where we just were, in verse 37, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So what does that say? Do not judge, and you will not be judged. So even if you think that you're walking in the will of God, if you're still holding judgment, what does that say? You will be judged. It says, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. What is our level of condemning? Condemning sounds like a very serious word, but how many people in your life have done something to you where you said, that crossed the line, I'm done? What is that ultimately? That's condemnation. It's saying
there's no way back for this person.
When a house gets wrecked by a hurricane and it gets a big sign slapped on it, it says condemned. What does that mean? It's no longer fit for use.
Yep.
We're all still fit for use. There is nothing you can do to be condemned. So do not condemn others. And then lastly, it says forgive and you will be forgiven. So continue to forgive. And you know, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you have to keep going on with that person. You know what I mean? Like if you have, per se, an ex that just does you completely wrong, forgive that person. That doesn't mean you have to continue a relationship with them.
No.
That was God's way of saying, hey, that person needs help, but they're only going to keep hurting you. Forgive that person, and I'll forgive that person. So there's a lot of power found in that verse right there. So what we ask you guys is just to continue to keep your eyes focused on the Father. The more that you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the more this is all going to come naturally. And one thing that I've noticed is I used to be really, really bad about gossip. I had a lot of friends that loved to do it, and I'm not going to say I don't gossip. But now when I start to hear, it's like almost when we start talking about someone that's not in the room, it feels like my mind goes on guard because it automatically starts listening for whoever's going to start speaking gossip, and it keeps my heart on guard about letting it come out of the tongue, because ultimately the tongue speaks life and death. So if you're speaking down on someone, you are cursing that person is what's happening. You are speaking down on their life. Speak highly of that person. Say, hey, this is only a season for them. I know my Father is going to do works in them. And it says in the Bible, any work that is started in you, Christ is going to bring to completion. So allow Christ to do that. Be the hands and feet. Keep that person standing upright. Pray for them. Thank you guys for tuning in on another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous.
Thank you, guys. It's really appreciated. We love you all.